We are 8:06, 6 minutes into the 8 o'clock hour, and we did promise that we would have a Christmas special from Bethlehem, and Jaggy Singh is on the line with us. Jaggy?
Hi there, Gretchen.
Andy's here, Caillou and Harry are in studio with us. Margo's also here, and I just want to give them an opportunity to greet you, because you've been on the minds of these folks here in Montreal as you were out in occupied Palestine. So, Caillou, if you want to say a few words to Jaggy.
Jaggy, j'aimerais dire que j'ai fait hier une prière pour toi, et je la répète à chaque heure, la prière pour toi, pour que tu nous reviennes en santé, bien dans ta peau, et en faisant le travail extraordinaire que tu fais là-bas. J'aimerais ça être à tes côtés. Malheureusement, je suis ici parce que j'ai aussi un boulot à faire ici. Mais je suis avec toi de tout mon cœur.
Merci. C'est vraiment apprécié, Caillou.
Andy?
Yeah, good afternoon there, Jaggy.
Hey, Andy. Good to hear from you.
I know it's afternoon in your time and it's morning in ours. And I'd like to say, Jaggy, have a good festival season. Merry Christmas, and come back home to us safe and sound.
Oh, I'll be just fine. Don't worry about me. Thanks, Andy.
And Harry?
Morning, Jaggy, or good afternoon. We've been getting some pretty interesting reports about your activities there, some probably biased reports, I guess, in the Gazette. So I'm looking forward to hearing maybe what's the truth is about what your activities are.
I've been filing some reports with CKUT, and I'm going to continue to do so as long as I'm here.
Glad to hear it.
You're actually at Manger Square now. And
I'm in the heart and the middle of Manger Square in Bethlehem, right across from the Church of the Nativity, where a Jewish anti-poverty activist was born, who some people consider to be the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And it's Christmas Eve. Bethlehem is a Christian Palestinian town. And it's usually the heart of celebrations, and the world's eyes are usually focused on Bethlehem at this time. The world's eyes are focused on Bethlehem, but the celebration is somewhat muted because up until very recently there was a curfew in town. The Israeli soldiers were in town. Keep in mind that the church that I talked about, the Church of the Nativity, where Jesus is reputed to have been born, that was the site of a siege past April. So according to seen many Christmases come and go here, it's not as celebratory as it might be. And actually, as I speak, this is a mixture of religion and politics, as I'm sure you guys all appreciate. And as I speak, here in Manger Square, I'm at a peace rally, a rally to end the occupation. And a large group of Israelis have come in, Jewish activists, Arab activists, Christian, Muslim, whatever. They're all here, about a few hundred, here in Manger Square. And right now they're doing a rally in opposition to the Israeli occupation of Palestinian lands.
Could you actually just take us on a tour of the Manger Square? This was a location, as you said, of a siege for many, many months. But it was also a place that people never did get to see because the media wasn't allowed to cover the siege on Manger Square from the front lines. But could you just describe the area for us and tell us a bit more about this peace demonstration that was organized there today?
Sure. I mean, we're in basically a square. And on one side of the square is the Church of the Nativity, which isn't one of your huge grand cathedrals or anything. It's quite a modest church, and actually bullet holes and stuff on the stone of the church. On the other side of the church is a mosque. On one side is a peace center, which ironically was where the IDF stationed themselves when they went about their siege. And there's also hotels and shops and what have you all around the square. Now, there was a courtyard right in front of the square, and that's where people might recall there were images last April of priests, of soldiers, of hostages, or so-called hostages, because as they turned out, they weren't really hostages. Of various other people who were coming and going from inside. I managed to walk around, and it's interesting to take a tour inside the Church of the Nativity, because on the one hand, you know, you're being pointed out that here's where Christ was born, here's the Orthodox side, here's the Catholic side, etc. But that's all intermixed with other testimonies, such as here's where the bodies were kept, here's where the militants hold out, here's where, you know, people had to sleep for over 30 days. And, you know, I'm here working with a group called the ISM, and there were internationals of the ISM that were inside the church. I actually happened to meet one of them once again. She's also filed reports for CKUT in the past, Kristen, who's from New York City, and she happens to be here today as well.
So, Jaggi, tell us a bit more about the activities of the ISM. That's the International Solidarity Movement. You've been working with them since you're there. But could you just tell us a bit more about their activities today around Manger Square and even going throughout the holidays? There's been some kind of large action plan to correspond with all the different festivities happening around Christmas.
Here, one of the major activities is the annual peace demonstration, which is happening as we speak. Also, tomorrow is actually the main activity organized by residents of Beth Sahur, Bethlehem, and Beth Jala, the three sort of towns south of Jerusalem, where I'm at. And it's basically a candlelit procession that's going to march all the way to the Bethlehem-Jerusalem checkpoint. Because keep in mind that ever since the occupation, Palestinians are prevented from going to Jerusalem, which they consider to be their capital. It's literally just minutes away, but because of the checkpoints, because of the military, they can't go. So there'll be a large demonstration tomorrow. In past years, there have been thousands and thousands there. This year, they're expecting a few thousand, but perhaps not as big as previous years, mainly because of the curfew that was imposed here for the last month and only recently has been lifted. Those are some of the activities locally. But, you know, I've been working out of the ISM media office, and I've been taking calls for the last day or two, and that really gives you an idea of what the work is all about. For example, I got a call yesterday at 3 p.m. at my time about a Palestinian ISM activist named Omar, who was taken in taken in by the Israelis into a detention center. He was handcuffed, he was blindfolded, and he's now not known where he is anymore. He's a Palestinian. He was taken in arbitrarily. And, you know, I was somewhat taken aback by what was happening. But according to people here, this happens all the time. Then a couple hours later, I get a call from a fellow named Henrik, a Swedish international who's in Rafah City in Gaza. And literally 30 seconds before he had phoned me, he had just left a house that had collapsed because three Israeli tank shells had fired into the house. They were accompanying Palestinian families whose houses are in the line of demolition in Rafah City so that the Israelis can build their so-called security fence, which everybody here calls the apartheid wall. So that gives you an idea of some of the work that people are doing, you know, trying to cross these checkpoints, trying to accompany people as they're in their homes, trying to prevent the building of this apartheid wall. And this is something that's happening all the time. We just don't have enough time to give people the full complexity of what's happening.
Just another Christmas in Palestine, eh?
Yeah, well, it is, but it's also worse these last 2 years, particularly. It's been, keep in mind, the Intifada started in September 2000, and in those 2 years, the Israelis have really clamped down, worse than ever. It's always been an occupation, but it's worse than ever. And actually, there's a false sense of openness today here in Bethlehem. Have a really critical eye when you watch those news reports that you'll be seeing about Christmas in Bethlehem, because you won't see necessarily the soldiers in Bethlehem. You won't see, you know, the tanks and the APCs, because they temporarily pulled out, knowing full well that there's a ton of international attention focused on Bethlehem. As I said, the world's eyes are focused on places like Bethlehem during this time of the year. And it gives people a real false picture, because this is under occupation, and you really don't notice it today because they've pulled out so that certain people can come in. But according to journalists I've talked to, according to people who've lived here for a long time, the numbers here are drastically, drastically, drastically lower than they've ever been. It really is not a usual Christmas here in Bethlehem or in Palestine. You know, Chris, Gretchen, I have with me an activist with Tayush, which is an Israeli Arab group that opposes the occupation. His name is
Dr. Neil Gordon,
and I just want to put him on the line with you so he can just explain what's happening at the protest here, okay? He'll just take a couple of minutes.
Good morning.
Dr. Gordon?
Yes.
Nice to hear from you. Could you introduce yourself for our listeners?
Yes. We're here in the middle of the square of the Church of Nativity. About 250 Israeli Jews and Palestinians that marched into Bethlehem and into the Church of Nativity to call the Sharon government to stop the occupation and stop the cynical use of the Christmas to show as if there is no occupation and as if the Sharon government is not trying incessantly to ruin the infrastructure of existence of the Palestinian people. We came here to protest together with our Palestinian partners of Bethlehem and to say to the Israeli public and to the world that Jews and Palestinians can talk and can, and it's about time that the Sharon government go back to the negotiating table and stop the brutal oppression of the Palestinian people.
Dr. Gordon, maybe you can tell us a bit more about that coalition between Israeli Jews and Palestinians. This kind of work, the work that goes on between Jewish people and Palestinian people in Palestine and in Israel, is not the kind of story that we often hear in the North American media. What are your thoughts on that? Why don't we hear about this opposition to Sharon?
Well, one of the goals of the Israeli government is to create political, physical, and psychological barriers between the Jews and the Palestinians. And they do that through checkpoints, not allowing. You see, we are now in Area A, which is illegal for Israelis to be here. So we're defying the law in order to meet our Palestinian partners. People can be later interrogated for it or later sent even to jail. So they have created a situation where it's really illegal for Israelis to meet Palestinians. So it has become very hard to do these kinds of protests. There is still a peace camp in Israel. People that believe that the only way for Israel to exist in the Middle East is through reaching a peaceful solution, a just solution, which means the total evacuation of the West Bank and Gaza Strip to the 1967 borders, East Jerusalem as the capital of Palestine, and a just solution to the refugee problem. We are here as a large group of people, as I said, around 250 people, that decided that they will not abide by Israeli law and enter into Bethlehem to support the people of Bethlehem, who until today have been under a very strict curfew, and to tell them that really this Christmas, or to say with them to the world that this Christmas is not a joyous holiday, it's a holiday under curfew, because in 2 days the curfew will resume.
Dr. Gordon, could you share with us any message that you have for our North American audience? It is Christmas time, Christmas Eve morning here in Montreal. What message do you have for our listeners today?
Well, I must say that our group in particular, Taayush, which is the Arab-Jewish Partnership, has been receiving a lot of support from Canadians. We've touring Canada, and we would just like to thank the Canadians who have been supporting the struggle for peace in the Middle East, and particularly on this holy day, we would like to say that hopefully, with God's will, next Christmas will be a Christmas without occupation, a Christmas where people here too can also rejoice, and not only in places like Canada. I'd like to thank you, and I'm going to pass on your reporter from here, okay?
Thank you very much, Dr. Gordon.
Hi there. I just wanted to tell you who that was if I didn't explain properly beforehand. That's a fellow by the name of Nev Gordon. He's with Taayush, as he said. But maybe one thing he didn't mention was that he was jailed for 1 month for refusing to serve in the IDF. So he's one of those brave, courageous Israelis who refuse to serve in the army and in the occupation.
Now, Jaggi, you're at a peace demonstration right now in Manger Square. Maybe you can again just tell us how many people are there and how are people responding to the fact that there's a peace demonstration in Manger Square on Christmas Eve?
Well, there's a few hundred people here. I'd put maybe 300-400. Right now, they've just released a bunch of balloons, red, black and white balloons. The red could be communist, the black could be anarchist, but actually the red, black, and white is the Palestinian colors, and they're going up into the air. you know, the mood here is, you know, there are people who see each other at other peace demonstrations, so they, you know, they encounter themselves and they're saying hi, and people are getting to know each other. But I'd basically say it's pretty somber. Not sad, but pretty muted. Not excited, but not angry either. I think people are pretty resigned to the situation here, and despite what's happening, still think it's important to assert their view that the occupation should end. And that's how I would describe the mood here. And there aren't a lot of tourists either. That's the other thing to keep in mind. So really, there's a lot of Israelis. Of course, lots and lots of Palestinians. This is a town in Palestinian territory, in occupied Palestinian territory. And you know, your fair share of international media. I think most of the media that covers the Middle East are here today.
Jaggi, maybe tell us a bit more about the media. You said you've been working at the International Solidarity Movement's media office, so you've been taking calls a lot from various international medias. I wonder if you can tell us what they're getting right or wrong and the kinds of questions that they're asking about the activities of the ISM, also about Christmas in Bethlehem.
Well, I mean, for them, it's just their yearly story. It's their yearly images of the mass, of the procession, of people here, maybe a couple of images about soldiers or what have you. But there's no real context. I think what we have to understand here is this is a colonial situation where you have a colonizer, the Israelis, who are imposing an occupation, and that's really not understood. The other thing is it's hard to get coverage of things that happen all the time. I mentioned there's an activist, a coordinator with the ISM, who was blindfolded, handcuffed, and now he's not known. His location is not known. Well, the media here is jaded. They're like, what's so different about him with all the other cases we hear about people who are arbitrarily arrested, detained, and never heard from for months on end? I mentioned the tank shells that went into a house in Gaza last night. Again, they're jaded about that. They're like, well, did anybody die? Et cetera, et cetera. So the threshold for getting international media to care about the day-to-day reality of occupation is really, really high. And even with the presence of internationals, it's a tough sell. And that's the challenge that the ISM faces. But, you know, it's not just about media. Not at all. It's focused on supporting Palestinians who themselves are making decisions to defy occupation. So, for example, up in the Tulkarm, Qalqilya area, Palestinian farmers have decided that they want to defy the building of a wall. And they're organizing on the 29th, so ISM activists will be there and as much as possible get those reports out. You know, there's two ways to approach this. One is we can think that the mainstream media will suddenly cover the issue and it'll be put on the world's agenda, and by doing so, maybe, you know, the world's pressure will force the Israelis to adjust solution. That's one way of looking at it. But there's another way that I look at it, which I prefer, which is that grassroots people, activists, people like the people in the studio right now, you know, people who squat, people who are involved with community radio, people who are involved with fighting for social justice every day. Those of us are going to hear the stories like I'm filing today, like the reports that other people are filing, and slowly build a grassroots movement from the bottom up and not rely on international media to give it to us from the top down. And that might take a little longer, but I can assure you that that'll be a much more solid and much more sustainable way of showing solidarity. And I think that's exactly what media activists involved with stations like CKUT are trying to do. You guys over there are just as much a part of what's happening here as I am. You know, it's just two sides of the same coin of solidarity.
Jaggi, je ne peux qu'encourager cette initiative que je croyais impossible d'avoir une coalition entre Juifs et Palestiniens. On voit qu'au niveau de l'individu, les gens sont prêts à faire des efforts et à se parler malgré toutes leurs différences et toutes leurs rancœurs. Et je ne peux qu'encourager cet effet.
Merci encore. Oui.
Another thing I would like to say, Jaggi, it sounds to me like in 1943, you know, the Israelites were being gassed and everything else. Genocide was happening and everything. And today it sounds like, you know, they're doing the same things to the Palestinian peoples. And the most hardening thing for me to understand right now is that here I am bickering about low-cost housing issues here in Montreal, in my own country, in my own province, my own city. And just the thought of the idea of me sleeping on the street behind a laneway and being blown up out of my own territory or out of my own home is dreadful. It's not right where innocent children, innocent women, innocent men are being deliberately blown up, being killed over something like a piece of land or a piece of territory. I think that the Palestinians do have a right to self-government and to their issues. They are a people. They are a nation. They are a country, and so is the Israelites. And I don't know, you know, how we can rectify the situation of keeping peace on both sides. It's a very hard and very difficult situation to understand, I think, you know. My heart goes out to all peoples.
I really appreciate what you're saying, Andy. One thing I think it's important to say is I don't think we should necessarily make any parallels between Holocaust and what's happening now. They're two different situations. There are certain things that I think that are important to say about the two, which is that I think, and this is something that many Jewish activists say all the time, I think it's an affront to the memory of the Holocaust that in the name of Israel, people will be doing that. So I think that's the important thing to say, that one of the lessons of the Holocaust is not that we should be protecting just Jews. The lesson of the Holocaust is that never again to anyone, regardless of their religion, regardless of their culture. That's, I think, a legacy that many Jews talk about, wherever they might be. And the other thing I want to say, Andy, is that I think the struggle that you talk about is part of the struggle for social justice. I really don't want to give the impression to people that, you know, it's worse here or it's better there, et cetera, et cetera. People fight for justice, and they fight for dignity in their own ways every single day. And as I said, your fight there, Andy, and you've been like on the front line of housing issues in Montreal for the last couple of years, your fight there is the same fight for justice and dignity, and it's something that we really have to keep in mind.
Yes, that's a very good point there, Jackie. I wasn't necessarily targeting one group or the other. That was my mistake. Sorry about that.
You know. No, it's not a mistake. It's just it's important to talk about the legacy of the Holocaust and how we should talk about that legacy and what that means today as it plays out in occupied Palestine.
Jaggi, this is Harry Fox. I have two quick questions for you.
All right.
Here in Canada, the mainstream media really pushes the Israeli ruling class position. Have you managed to get a sense of how the average Israeli man and woman on the ground feels about some of those policies that are making their lives more miserable?
Well, I was only in Israel for a few days. I can't pretend to be able to have the sense of the everyday Israeli. One thing I can say, though, is that there's a gamut of opinions. There's widespread opinions. And there is a strong movement here that feels that the occupation and the building of illegal settlements have absolutely nothing to do with their security. And actually, they go even farther and they say they've increased our insecurity. If you want to stop suicide bombings, end the occupation. If you want to stop attacks on innocent civilians, then end the occupation. That's the position of many, many Israelis.
Yeah, well, one final question, Jaggi. We've heard that you were detained by the Israeli authorities. Are they monitoring your movements at all?
Well, I'm right now in the middle of Manger Square in Bethlehem on Christmas Eve. And if there's one place you don't want to be if you want to avoid attention, it's here. So I'm not going out of my way to avoid them, but if they want to find me, I guess they could, because I'm not really hiding where I am. I have heard that down in Hebron, there were soldiers who were asking about someone named Singh. I can confirm that they're looking, but...
you did have a deadline issued, though, on the December 23rd. By the courts.
Yeah, well, I was supposed to leave Israel by December 23rd, and as I've told other people, I did. I came to Palestine. I'm not supposed to be in the territories, and of course, I've been here for at least 4 or 5 days. I don't really think if I was to abide by that court decision, I would be complicit in normalizing the illegal occupation of the West Bank and Gaza. I'm not going to be complicit in that. It's not for a court to decide who comes here. It's for Palestinians to decide who comes here. And after that decision, I consulted with Palestinian activists and organizers, and they were emphatic. They said, yes, do come and see for yourself what's going on. And it was an easy decision to make, and I'll stay here as long as I intended, which is early January, and I hope to file regular reports to CKUT over that period.
You are listening to Tuesday Morning After, Christmas Eve edition, with a special Christmas broadcast from Manger Square. Jaggi Singh is on the ground there, and there's a peace demonstration happening right now. Various Israeli Jews and Palestinians, as well as internationals, have gathered. Upwards of 300, 400 people are there in Manger Square. Jaggi, I wonder if you take the opportunity to allow people there to use your cell phone to send greetings home or out to the world. Is there anyone there that might like to share a message for our listeners?
I have someone beside me, and I'm just going to tell him what he needs to do. So I'm talking to some listeners in Montreal, and they want you to give a greeting of for the holiday season to people in Montreal. This is another Tayush. I let him introduce himself, and he'll send along his greeting.
Hello, I'm David Neer from Tayush, the Arab Jewish Partnership. We are in Bethlehem near the Church of Nativity, and I greet you all Christians in Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Thank you very much.
And I'll give you one other person, and she's going to send along a greeting, just a hello. She's kind of hesitant here. She's shy, but they just want you to give a greeting to people in Montreal, just a hello from activists or somebody here in Bethlehem. Okay, so this is Ilana from Tayush as well.
Hi, hello. I'm Vichai Towing.
All right, thank you very much.
Oh, she's too shy there. Anyways, those are, you got one at least.
Jaggi, any final thoughts from you?
I'm going to continue to stay here. I think it's important to convey to people, again, just really underline, you know, there's significance to Christmas Eve and Christmas in Bethlehem and all of that, but there's an occupation here, and you don't get a sense of that today, of what that means. So, you know, the cameras are here. But they weren't here, say, a week ago when there were checkpoints and curfews and people were under house arrest and people could be arbitrarily detained and soldiers are involved with harassing people. I think it's really important to convey that. And besides that, I guess I'll say happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and free Palestine.
Thank you very much, Jaggi.
Okay, see you, Gretchen. Bye, everyone.
Vamos a comprar juguetes para los niños pobres que puedan jugar. Hoy en Navidad vamos a comprar juguetes para los niños pobres que puedan jugar. Que este día ya sería ese día en Navidad esperándote en la calle. Que puedan jugar, que puedan jugar. Que esperemos ya ese día Navidad, para los niños que son pobres. Vamos a comprar.